that's good stuff right there. I want you to find a Bible, if you would. Turn to Luke chapter 24 as our ushers get ready to serve us. We're going to worship him with our tithes and offerings today. We're going to give back to him just a portion of the many blessings that he's given us. And we do this as part of our witness. We do this because, honestly, it does something, I believe, more for us than it even does, maybe even for him. He's going to accomplish his mission and his purpose with or without us. But he gives us the privilege of participating. He includes us. I want you to think about that. I'm going to preach just a bit for the offering. Hang on a second. Did you hear me this morning? Tithing in your life and giving in your life. Let me make it abundantly clear. Certainly it takes discipline. That's if you think it's all yours. If you think it's all yours and God's robbing you somehow because you honor him with your first fruits of 10%, if you think somehow it's all yours, then by all means keep it from him. That's all I'm saying. But if he is truly our source, if he is our blessing, if he gives us the privilege of participating with him, and then we don't take advantage of that, what does it say about us? What does it say about us? So your tithing today and your giving today is truly a part of our witness to this world. Because can I tell you right now, it makes no sense to your friends at all. None. No sense whatsoever. It didn't make any sense to the politicians. We hear it every year. How much did you give to charity? $300. It didn't make any sense. How much do we give in our worship, in our discipline? How much do we give? It's part of our witness today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your many blessings. Unashamedly, Lord Jesus, we thank you and give you praise. And we thank you, Father, for the ability to work. And we thank you for the gray matter you put between our ears. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of being born here in America and enjoying the prosperity of this land. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. And Father, we give back unto you. And for those, Father, who are in charge of applying this offering to meeting the needs, Father, of the advancement of your kingdom, Father, we do not take that responsibility lightly. We pray, God, that every penny that we apply would be honoring, Lord Jesus, of you. So, Father, bless this offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what happens when you feel like preaching. I kind of feel like preaching today. I'm preaching for the offering. And everyone shouted amen. Oh, come on. Act like a Pentecostal church. You know, nobody in the CMA ever wants to admit this. We got district council here the next 2 days. You won't hear hardly anybody talk about this. But we came out of Pentecostal heritage. You don't believe in healing, in people being healed without having some kind of Pentecostal roots, okay? So to act Presbyterian today, to act like the frozen chosen is not who we are. It's okay to shout a little bit. It's okay to be excited a little bit. It's okay to participate a little bit. It's okay to show your enthusiasm a little bit simply because our Savior is risen. He's still risen today. Amen? He's still alive. Tomorrow night, I want you to invite you to come back here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the service starts. Two reasons I want you to come back. One is this. Dwight Smith is a friend of ours. We've known Dwight for a number of years, at least 10 years. Dwight Smith is going to be the speaker. And Dwight will make you think. He's one of those speakers that he has no dog in the race. No dog in the race here. So he can say things, okay, and he probably will, all right? But Dwight is an excellent speaker. Dwight's been instrumental in my life. He's been instrumental in this church more than you would ever probably ever recognize. And I want you to come hear Dwight tomorrow night, because our district has worked with Dwight for a long time, and Dwight will be the speaker. The second reason I want you to come tomorrow night is simply this. We're going to start out district council. Well, Harry and I are playing tomorrow, okay? We're playing during the day, and we're just doing it. We're going to take it easy on them a little bit, Harry. We're going to do an acoustic thing, and we're going to start out with Ain't No Grave, okay? And we're going to do that acoustically, and it'll be a little bluesy, and it's okay, and people will be coming in late because they're us. We're all the same, all right, okay? So they'll be strolling in late and stuff, so we'll start them out with Ain't No Grave. But tomorrow night, we're going to reprise Ain't No Grave, and we're going to throw some multi-track in with it, and we're going to do it large. I'm going to do it large. I don't know if you're going to do it large or not, but I'm going to do it large. The question is, I went up and Greg was working in the balcony yesterday. He was working on VBS stuff. Yes, they've been working on VBS stuff for the last couple of weeks. Angie, you got to sign up today? You do have an Angie. You want to participate in VBS, an awesome week here at Breakfast Church? You want to participate in a fantastic week? You say, I don't even like children. We don't care. It's all right, okay? I don't either. You know what I mean? So it's all right, okay? And I still have to be here, okay? So, yeah, you need to be here. There's a little something for everybody to do. Everybody. There's a little something for everybody to do. So you need to see Angie today about VBS, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. So Greg's here yesterday. They're up there cutting styrofoam. I'm looking at an elephant right now as we speak in the balcony. There's actually an elephant in the balcony. So I went up to him. I said, I'm starting out district council with Ain't No Grave. I said, do you think they can handle it? And Danelle looks at me and says, music last week was awesome. Because it was just awesome. As it was good. And I said, Danelle, I said, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. I didn't have any qualms about doing that music last week at our church. But I have a little bit of hesitation to do it with maybe some others. Because here, I know, hang on, we might get a little bit excited about what we're singing about. We might get, there was a battle, a war between death and life. There on the tree, I get chills saying it, the Lamb of God was crucified. He went on down to hell. And when I sing that, I usually emphasize the word hell. The southern twang comes out at that point. He went on down to hell and took back every key. He rose up as a lion. He sets all captives free. There ain't no grave. It's going to hold my body down. Maybe you think, if you may be in the grave. If that doesn't do something for you, check your pulse. Check your blood pressure. Ain't no grave going to hold our body down. Come on out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And we will worship the Lord together. And it'll be awesome. We have the privilege of 60, 65 churches, their pastors and their staffs and some of the people from their churches coming and being in this place tomorrow afternoon at noon through noon on Tuesday. It's just 24 hours. We always say yes to district council. Always say yes when they ask us, would you host it? Absolutely. Because it's our privilege to champion these guys and gals and to wave the flag for them because they're in the trenches and they're doing their thing. And that's our privilege, just kind of minister to them for 24 hours. Here's a question. If you could help us, Marilyn, would you wave your hand at everybody? If you could help us tomorrow noonish, okay? Actually, earlier in the morning, we'll get a few things ready. But noonish till maybe 11:30 on Tuesday, if there's any of that time in there that you could help us, I want you to see Marilyn. We can always use an extra hand or two. And we'll believe that God's really going to do some work. Can I tell you this? I don't mean this. I just want to say it real fast. I want you to hear it. There are many, many occupations in this world that are difficult and that are hard work, that weigh on you. Pastoring is one of those. There's a lot of challenges to pastoring. It's such a diverse calling, occupation, leadership opportunity. Is it a privilege? You bet it's a privilege. Is it difficult? Privilege has nothing to do whether it's difficult or not. It is flat out taxing. It's hard emotionally. I was telling Marshall, we were talking about her job the other day, and she was explaining how she's learning a new job right now, and we're all really excited about it, and it's really, really cool. And she was explaining some of the data and the figures and this and that and stuff. And I said, she was done. I said, you realize all of that is hard data. You put that into a formula, and you math people out there, you know who you are. As I point at you and not me, okay? You math people understand, you put the numbers in, you put the data in, and it puts a product out the end, and it gives you a yes or a no, or maybe, or I don't know. But that's what you do. You make decisions based on these kind of things. I said, you realize none of the last 30 years in my life is based off of hard data. None. It's all a perception. It's an understanding. It's a reality that the Holy Spirit has to make you aware of. It's a relationship. Jordan, let me just talk to you for a second, okay? I want you to give me the hard data about your relationship. What? The hard data about my relationship. When you start to say to Becky, I took out the trash, did I not? I did the dishes, check. Oil is checked in the car, it's all good. I made the bed this morning, there's my relationship. It doesn't work that way. You better do all those things, okay? I'm just saying, I'm not saying you get to, but I'm just saying, they're not the sum total of a relationship. This is not about hard data. It's about perception. It's about you looking inward. It's about you seeing your life in light of the story. It's about you allowing and myself allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work that the Spirit has designed for you at this very moment, which is different, Paul, for you than it is for me. I don't know where that fits in the formula. I don't know where that goes in the formula. Did we take the offering? Did we? Good. Okay, that's a good thing. All right, so I just want to make sure. I don't know where it fits in the formula. And that's exactly what we're looking at today. There's no formula to this scripture. We're going to read it, but let me tell you the story real fast. Jesus has risen from the dead. Okay? And he joins up with a couple guys walking down a road. A nice 7-mile journey. They're going from one place, and they're going down this road to Emmaus. They're going to another town. They're traveling along the path. When I say road, just think this path. When I think say path, don't think of Spring Mill, okay? When I say path or Eagle Creek, don't think rocky, uneven, watching your footing, being careful along the way. Don't know where the rest stops are. It's just a path from here to there. These guys are walking. And a third guy joins them. And it's Jesus. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And this guy, they basically say, what rock have you been living under? This is scripture. What rock have you been living under? Have you not heard the news? See, this guy named Jesus, who was certainly a prophet. That's what it says. That's what they think of him as. He was a prophet. He was a very good guy. We thought he was the Messiah. And they crucified him. How can you crucify a Messiah? How can you crucify someone who's going to step in and right all the wrongs? How can you hang him on a tree like a common criminal? How could you do that? He hung there among thieves. Have you not heard this story? Where have you been? They put him in a tomb, and now here's the word on the street. The word on the street is, it's empty. Just some rags laying there. That's what they found. And you know what? Some of the women in our group claim that they met angels who said, he's not among the dead. He's risen. That's the news. This is why we have the long faces. This is why we're confused. This is why we're overwhelmed right now. And you don't get that at all? You've not heard that. And here's what Jesus says. He said to them, verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then check this out. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. All right. Picture with me, if you will, okay? 7 miles, rocky path. I'm figuring 20 minutes a mile because I like to saunter. Okay? I'm not in a hurry here. I'm taking my time, perspiring as little as possible. 20 minutes a mile, 140 minutes, 2 hours to hear Jesus speak. 2 hours for the message. Beginning with Moses, this is wild. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who just defeated death, hell, and the grave, now has the patience to turn around to two and say, let me explain it to you again. Anybody here thankful for the patience of God in your life? Oh, wow. That's a lot of hands. Anybody here have to hear the same thing over and over and over sometimes before you actually get it? You're not alone. If I was just a better believer, if I was just raised in the right home, if I just had more faith, the King of Kings spends 2 hours walking along. How come he just doesn't look at him the first second and go, I'm him! I got the keys. I have the dominion. I have the power. My message rules over everybody. It's me. But he spends 2 hours with them. That's the reason I say, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't participate with God in his gracious offer to have connection with us, and in this case, I was just talking about tithing. That's just one element of it. If we don't take advantage of his gracious participation with us, what does that say about you and me? King of Kings spends 2 hours walking along the road. So here's what happens. They get to where they're going. This is another thing it'll preach. Not totally sure what to do with it. Holy Spirit just places these things in my heart and I just ponder on them. I've walked after the Lord and tried to serve him in my life for a long time, and there's still things I don't get. Many things I don't get. Here's one of them. When they get to where they're going and they still don't know who he is, Jesus starts to walk away. Again, a picture of Jesus that you and I don't get. You won't find it in the Sunday school hall. You won't find the nice Caucasian Jesus in the Sunday school hall. He's always letting the children come to me. And he did. In this case, he's walking away. What do you do with that? Now, what happens? The two that are walking with him, don't go. It's getting dark. You don't need to walk any further. You don't walk at night. It's not safe. Come stay with us. We're here. We've got place for you. And that's kind of wild to begin with. Listen, who are they inviting in? A stranger at that point. Ooh, let's preach just for a little while today. Follower of Christ. They invite in a stranger. He didn't earn his way in, does he? He just spent time with them walking along the road. They're all going the same direction. That's why, you know, and come in and stay with us. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus changes his direction and goes in and stays with them. It comes time for a meal. And Jesus sits at the table. The Bible says he does this. He breaks the bread. He gives thanks to God for blessings, consistency, faithfulness. Breaks the bread, gives thanks, and then gives it to him. And at that moment, that's when they see Jesus. Awesome. That's when they see Jesus. He breaks the bread which he created, which he provided. He gives thanks again for his ability, his efforts, his blessing. And he shares it with them. And that's where they see Jesus. So here's my question for us this morning. So if I'm one of those guys walking down the road and I've got my cool robe on like they all wore, okay? I got my great robe on and I've got it tied around my waist and I've got the flip-flops, okay? Sandals. I got the flip-flops. I look the part, and I'm going down the road, and there he is, and Jesus comes up and says, what are you guys talking about? And we're heading that way. Let's talk a little bit. Am I one of the ones that don't recognize him? Why do they not recognize him? I'm going to give you a few thoughts. And then we're going to talk about it just a little bit in discussion group, and then we're going to go home. A couple thoughts. Here's one thought. They didn't recognize Jesus because they weren't looking for Jesus. and recognize Jesus because they had written Jesus off. They were confused at best. Someone, he had not risen from the dead. I'm not sure if you could trust those women or not. That might have just been emotion, hysteria. Who knows what that was about and stuff. Someone stolen his body. What do you mean? Risen from the dead. Well, what's that about? Angels? Yeah, okay, you know, a little emotional if you ask me. They weren't looking for Jesus. Okay. Remember this game? I spy with my little eye. Remember that game going down the road? I spy with my little eye something red. Come on. Who's got something red? Harry's guitar. Okay, what else? The cross on the flag is red. Okay, Mary, you hold up your cup, got red. Was it? Jackie's shirt's red. You got what? Where's this? What, Anna? Oh, the exit sign. Very nice. Yeah. I spied with my little eye. You didn't notice red things until I asked you to look for it. It's like getting a new car. I've only done this once in my life, but I know this, okay? It works this way, all right? You get another vehicle, you get a new vehicle, you get a new car, a new truck, a new van, something like that, and you're driving down the road. Suddenly, your car is everywhere. Have you ever noticed that? It's everywhere. You just picked a Toyota Highlander, and suddenly everybody drives a Toyota Highlander. Why is that? Because you are looking for them now. They weren't looking for Jesus. So they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him. Let me give you one more. Two more, actually. They didn't find Jesus. We're not finding Jesus. They didn't find Jesus, okay, because he's not in the place that they think he should be. He's not in the place that they think he should be. I mean, where do they encounter him? How come he's not like standing on a mountain with a voice that reaches the entire world? Or better yet, floating in the heavens above everyone. I'm not being facetious. I'm being quite serious. How come he's not there to say, look at me, here I am. You know where he is again? Oh, young people, listen to me. This is one of the best things about serving the Lord. He is such a radical. Part of his pronouncement of his victory is to two guys walking along a dirty road. That's where they find him. Where do you find Jesus? Along a road, walking along a road. Where do you find Jesus? Hanging among thieves. Where do you find Jesus? Touching lepers. Hanging with sinners and having dinner with them. Where do you find Jesus? Calling fishermen, because everyone knows the fishermen are the ultimate influencers in society. The brainiacs, they are, absolutely. Where do you find Jesus? The children that come to him. The children. In that society, who's got time for children? Children know their place. Where do you find Jesus? He wasn't in the place that they thought he would be. Can I ask you a question today? How do you have the Lord boxed in your life? That says this is the way God has to work. This is the way he has to speak. This is where I will find his presence. And anything outside of that, nah, I have no idea. I don't know. I can't do that at all. Can I just simply offer this to you today? You may find the presence of God in some of the most unlikely of places. And here's the thing. It might really affect your witness if you'll acknowledge Jesus' willingness to go and to be accessible and to spend hours and to include people. Last one. We don't find Jesus because we're looking for somebody else. We don't find Jesus because we're looking for somebody else altogether. And honestly, they still were. See, the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to take all of this injustice. He's going to take all of the circumstances that we have walked through. He's going to acknowledge all those circumstances. He's going to acknowledge all of that bad, and he's going to establish himself as king, and we are going to get our pound of flesh. That's the way it's going to work. In other words, he's going to bring justice. We're going to get some justice. Put these Romans where they belong. They don't find Jesus because they're looking for a different guy. They're looking for a different guy. Is he going to come back and set everything right? Oh, yeah. Will there be justice? You bet. You bet. Is he long-suffering? Is he patient? Is he giving? Does he love you with a love that you cannot comprehend? You bet. They weren't looking for the right guy. I want us to look for the right guy. One last thought. He goes on when he has this meal, and I alluded to this earlier, but I want us to, two thoughts here. I want to see if I can remember them both. When they finally recognize Jesus, it's because he does the three things. And I think they're significant. I think they're easily overlooked, okay? But he takes the bread and he breaks it. This is my body broken for you. He breaks the bread. Again, guys, I love our board because our board actually got semi-offended one time when I said that someone at another institution somewhere called our breakfast kind of a tactic is the word that they used. And I had a board member get completely offended. And it spoke to my pride and my flesh like nobody's business. I said, since when is having a meal a tactic? So Jesus was all about tactics. We read it last week. He has breakfast waiting for him on the shore, and he restores Peter. Evidently, that was just a tactic. Yeah. You know where Jesus reveals himself? It's where the bread's broken. It's where gratitude and thanksgiving is demonstrated, and then giving and generosity. I think it's wild. Go with me on this. You want to think I'm wrong, that's fine. I think it's wild that he spends 2 hours explaining things to them and they don't ever see Jesus. And the second that he demonstrates sacrifice, gratitude, and generosity without saying a word, there he is. So I have homework for us this week. Everybody, as a follower of Christ, just shut up. Just be quiet. Don't get on Facebook and, quote, defend your faith. Don't get out there and wave your flag and shake your fist and my rights are being violated and this country ought to be this and don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a witness. I'm not saying that there's any less need for being a witness to our family, our friends, our neighbors, you name it, to this nation. Absolutely, it needs a witness of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I'm simply saying this. Let your brokenness, your vulnerability, your transparency, your willingness, your openness, let that be your witness. Let your thanksgiving be your witness. You ever seen that bumper sticker on a car that says, "Grateful no matter what"? It's always a woman. I've never seen a man get out of that car. It's one of the most feminine stickers I've ever seen in my life. I cannot imagine putting that on the back of my old black Jeep. Grateful no matter what. Because generosity in that way and kindness in that way is certainly not masculine enough. Really? The King of Kings feeds those that are with him and gives to those who are with him. Once again, he doesn't even cop the attitude that says, "I just defeated the grave. I just rose again. I just paid my price on the cross. I've given you everything that you need." Once again, he gives. So let your brokenness this week, your vulnerability, your transparency, let that speak. Let the authenticity of the relationship that you have with God, what you have witnessed and what you know, let that be enough. Quit worrying that you need more of God. You need more of this. You need more provision. You just minister from what you have and from what you know. Give from what you have. Broken, thankful, and giving. That's when they notice Jesus. And that's when they'll notice us. Lord, I thank you. You are a radical God. You defy human nature. You just don't fit the box. Like the video said, oh, we can come up with so many words to try to describe you, Lord, but they seem so inefficient. Inadequate to display a heart for your creation. Father, I pray that you would use this church, use the craziness of this breakfast meal, use the willingness and the hearts and the openness, the vulnerability of this congregation to other people who need to know that a relationship with you, Father, is not about performance. It's not just about words. It's not just accumulating knowledge. It's not Bible trivia. It's recognizing you, Father, and that you would break bread with us, that you'd have fellowship with us, that you would have dinner with us, that you would include us. Oh, God, how thankful we are for the hours that you've spent with us. How thankful we are, God, for multiple chances. And I pray, God, that you would stir something down inside of us. It shows, Father, just how excited we are about our relationship with you, how life-giving that relationship with you is. I give you praise, and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I have one question for you. You don't have to spend long on it. But I would invite you to have a little bit of discussion about it. Just simply one question. It's very simple. What's the most unlikely place that you have ever found the presence of our Lord? I think it's a great question. I think it's a testimony starter. I'm going to ask you to meet today for 15, 20 minutes before you go home and just simply answer. You know why I want you to answer that? Because that's what your friends want to know. How have you experienced Jesus? Where did you experience him? Because they know this, if he's real, if he's authentic, if he's real in your life, then maybe he could be real in theirs. Where's the most unusual place? Or maybe this, how about this? Where's the most usual place that you felt his presence? And church is out of bounds. That's easy. God bless. Enjoy the week. Hey, see Marilyn there. If you could help with district council a little bit, would very, very much appreciate that. God bless. Down a road that had no end, I was walking.